Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. Before I forget about it, Sherry said that there is some auction items left in the gym if anybody's interested, probably some trips and some other stuff, so from the barbecue. If you'll open your bulletins, next Sunday, June 4th, we've got several things going. Mission fair and some other stuff, so keep that in mind. Today we're celebrating Memorial Day Chaplains Offering. You'll see that in the bulletin. Larry's probably got something to say about that later.
No, I think everything is presented there.
Okay.
Two patients and another note, I think.
News article deadlines, May 28th. If you hadn't got your article in, you need to get it in. Any other announcements? Anyone? All right. Go ahead. Any additions or deletions to the prayer list? Jim? Wall? Anyone else?
This fruit call, Mr. Fruit call, not good news this week. Basically, he heard, they said he heard comfort. And his interpretation was probably correct. The word was weak.
Anyone else? Christy? Okay. I've got a good friend in Birmingham, Alabama. His mother-in-law, they found her with cancer last Tuesday, so the Lowry family. Lowry, L-A-W-R-Y. Anyone else? Charles West. Okay.
Billy Osmond is getting better, but he's got pneumonia in the hospital with a few complications.
Okay. Anyone else? To add. Okay, if we kind of keep those in mind as we bow our heads and prepare ourselves for worship. Amen. Our call to worship this morning, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Miss Peggy, I believe.
You're stuck with me. All right. 106. Let's stand together as we sing this morning. Praise Him, praise Him. Praise Him, Jesus. our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangeling glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
You remember Isaiah going into the temple and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And it was quite an experience to Isaiah. I don't know if he went in casually or not to start with, but we do know that it wasn't a casual experience while he was there. He saw himself in the presence of God, holy God. The seraphim explained, holy, holy, holy. They proclaim God is holy, 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 is the Lord of hosts. We're in the presence of a holy God. He is always with us, but hopefully He's with us in a special way when we come apart to His sanctuary. Lord God, we come to praise You, God our Father, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to praise Jesus, Your Son, our Savior. Lord, prophet, priest, king, not of an earthly kingdom, but of the universe. King of people's hearts. And we come this morning saying, Lord, be our king and let us be Your subjects. And we know, Lord, that You're going to be so good to us. You want to love us in a special way that no one else could love us. Because, Lord, that's already happened. And we know that it will continue. Thank You for being our God and allowing us to be Your people. Lord, we pray that You would speak to us in this gathering, that there may be no doubt. That You love us. That You have a plan for us. In Jesus' name we pray, praying now as He taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing, and we will state our faith and sing the Gloria.
We express our faith in saying the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. Third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Time in our service when we are called to confess our sins. The results of one trespass was condemnation for all men. In unison, the people's confessing, Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from dead to life and crowned him of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the ways of the world and failed to give him glory. Raise us from the sin, that we may be a faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of the church, his body. Amen. You continue fasting. The results of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. Amen.
You'll turn to page 79. Jesus, the very thought of thee. Let's sing the first, the third, and the last verse.
Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast. But sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. The hope of every contrite heart, O joy of all the meek, to those who fall, how kind thou art, how good to those who seek. Jesus, our own thou, as thou our prize wilt be. Jesus, be thou our glory now, and through eternity.
Thinking it's time in the service, if you look in the bulletin, to recognize veterans. And I'd like for all the veterans to maybe stand, and we'll just say thank you. For all the veterans that stand, please. Thank you. Off to our sentence this morning is, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? If the ushers would please come forth.
Well, we have Learn a New Song. And how many know this? He the pearly gates will open. Do you know it? I know it. So I'm not having to learn one. Good. Let's do the first and the third. It's page 541.
Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus, just the same through test of time. He the pearly gates will open so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sins he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood, his power to save. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption, and forgave me all my sin.
Scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah and Philippians. You'll open your bulletin and follow along. Isaiah 48:10-11. I have refined you, who not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be deflamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Philippians 3:7-11. But whatever was not to profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, and not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is in my, by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain to the resurrection from the dead. The word of God for the people of God.
Our last hymn this morning is 522. Let's sing the first, second, and the third verse. He lifted me.
In loving kindness Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me.
I want you to really look at the words of this song. These are beautiful, wonderful words of what the Lord has done for us when he lifted us out of sin. Let's sing the second verse.
He called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. And when I took him at his word, forgiven he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me. His brow was pierced with with many a thorn. His hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me. With tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me.
An additional scripture passage is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesian church of the Christians at Ephesus, says, "By grace you are saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, lest any man should boast." I believe that would include women also. None of us have a right to boast concerning our salvation. Also, from Isaiah 48, the preceding verse to verse 10, verse 9, Isaiah 48, "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off." Israel, captives, Babylon, they deserved everything that God could shower upon them. That was bad. But here God says, "I'm going to hold off. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to defer it." Actually, it was greater than just deferring it. He brought them back. He established them again in that land that he had given to Abraham. Salvation, ours, yours, mine, saved by his grace, saved for his sake, or for his glory. For God's glory. But I thought that we were saved for our benefit. I thought God saved us to keep us out of the fiery pit. He did. But that's only part of the story. Our salvation is about us. But our salvation is more about God. God the Father, the Creator. And our salvation is more about Jesus than it is about us. And our salvation is about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You are saved by grace, and grace alone. Some time ago, a cake mix company packaged a cake mix and put it on the market. And that cake mix was complete. Had everything that it needed to make a cake except water. And you could add water and bingo, it was ready to put in the oven. People wouldn't buy it. They refused. They didn't see how you could make a cake and put it on the grocery store shelves, and all you had to do to get it ready to cook was add water. The company didn't know why people wouldn't buy the cake. They did a survey. They learned that people wanted to have a part in their cake baking more than just adding water. Strange people, were they not, or are we not? So the result of doing the survey and learning a few facts about people, they added to the recipe, add one egg. Sales skyrocketed. Couldn't keep them on the shelf, those boxes of cake mix. What makes us want to add something to that which is already complete? What makes us want to add something to our salvation? Yes, the same problem that existed for that cake mix company exists in regard to the salvation of a sinner. People want to add their work to the process, to the already finished project. And especially other people other than us. We want to add something to the requirements for others to be saved. But the Bible teaches very, very plainly that Jesus provided salvation for all who would have it. Anyone who wants to be saved and is willing to trust Jesus, Jesus provided salvation. He did that on the cross of Calvary. The work of providing salvation was done right there on Calvary. And when it was finished, when the work was completed, Jesus proclaimed, "It is finished." And go back to Jesus' experience in the Garden of Gethsemane. In his prayer to God the Father. And we can see that he was going there to provide our salvation, to be a sacrifice, to satisfy justice. A lamb, the Lamb of God, slain for our sin, blood shed for our sin. And Jesus did everything necessary for salvation, our salvation, there on Calvary. We say he paid the penalty for every person's sin. But since he did that, people have continually tried to add their requirements for salvation above trusting in Jesus. With the Galatian Christians, or the Galatian church, those who had come to trust Christ, some Judaizers came along and said, Oh, but you are not really saved because of what Christ did. You've also got to be circumcised. Make that a part of the salvation of the Galatians. Paul had been there and he had preached to them and he heard about this and he wrote quite a stinging letter, and he was so angry at those who would come and teach these new Christians, new believers in Christ, newly saved people, that they wasn't really saved until they were circumcised. And read the passage where he expresses what he wished would happen to those people that were teaching. So he wasn't very patient with them. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith, counting on Jesus alone. No mixtures, no additives, no alterations, but we are saved by grace. And if you're hoping to be saved by some other method, go back and read Romans, Galatians, Philippians. Go back and read about Jesus. Paul is preaching about Jesus, but go back and read about Jesus dying for us. Pure grace, unadulterated, undiluted grace of God. By grace, we are saved. By grace, you are saved. By grace, I am saved. Not of works, but we want to talk about the works so much. On this matter, Max Lucado, and I know I've used his name a couple of times in the past couple of weeks, 3 weeks. On this matter, he says, the work of Christ is a bungee cord for the soul. And I just wonder, who of you jumped on a bungee cord? We use bungee cords to tie our stuff that we're hauling around in our car down, but who's jumped? Who's trusted a bungee cord for their life? Anybody? You have. Bless your heart. The most unlikely one. Would you ever have believed it? Jumped off of a bridge or a tower? Oh, Kate did it. Okay. But she did it. She trusted that bungee cord. And Lakata says that Jesus is our somewhat like, Jesus is more than a bungee cord, But Jesus is like a bungee cord. That somewhat describes it. We put our total faith in Him. Nothing else was there to catch you but that bungee cord, or to spring you back up. The work of Christ, what He did on Calvary, is the bungee cord for the soul. Trust in it. Trust in the bungee cord and take the plunge. Is that what you did? You just jumped. Or did they push you? Okay. But it's still. Trust Jesus and take the plunge. We don't hear anyone teaching circumcision as a way to salvation in the Christian church today. We hear it argued for health reasons, pro and con. But we do hear many other things. We hear some say salvation is a matter of trusting Jesus and evangelism. The question is, how many have you led to Christ today or yesterday? Or I hear it often, how many people walk the aisle every Sunday at your church, like our church is not doing anything unless people are walking the aisle. And we need to have people walk the aisle or come to publicly profess their faith in Jesus Christ. But walking the aisle doesn't save us. It's the trust in Christ, and we're expressing that trust by walking the aisle and coming and saying, I'm trusting Jesus. Shaking hands with the preacher don't save us. I tried that so many times and went to the altar how many times? Didn't ever save me. Ended up that Jesus had to save me. I had to quit trusting and shaking hands with the preacher and having him pray over me. Some say that Jesus and our contributions, some people call them collections. I keep trying to say, this is not a collection. We're not a collection agency. We're a receptacle of offerings. But some people want to say, Jesus and my, what I gave when the collection was taken. Taken? Contribution, tithes, and offerings. Some people talk about Jesus and some mystical things want penance. We've got to do penance. And somewhere we get the idea if we don't do penance, or that's going to help us in our salvation. It may show that we are saved, show that we are committed to Jesus, but it doesn't save us. Jesus and our heritage. Were you raised in the church? I'm a sixth generation Cumberland Presbyterian. Hey, I'm a second generation. Am I saved as those six generations or ten generation Cumberland Presbyterians? I have some friends that can trace their heritage back to 1810 and before. Maybe some can go back to Calvin. Jesus and doctrine. You've got to believe it this way. They'll tell you, it's Jesus plus the way you believe about Him. Salvation has nothing to do with what things we believe. It's except trusting in Jesus, believing in Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him to have eternal life. Legalism. Jesus plus something else. You ever heard of the legalist? Legalists, they trust Christ. And they look good because they work so hard for Christ. Actually, for themselves. They're working for themselves. They trust Christ, but not Christ alone. And salvation comes through trusting Christ and no one else, not even ourselves. Legalists trust in Christ plus what they do in His name for their salvation. But trying to save ourselves is like being in a broken down submarine where the motors have stopped. We're at the bottom of the ocean, sunk. Power is gone, and someone challenges the rest of the crew, maybe we could get to the top of the surface of the ocean if we all pushed up on the roof of the submarine. And we say, how silly they were. But trying to save ourselves for eternity is just as silly. Jesus lifts us from the depths of sin. What did we sing? He lifted me. Put emphasis on the He. He lifted me. He lifted me. Someone has said, by offering to help Jesus save us, we mock God. We're saying to Jesus, sorry, you couldn't save me, Jesus. You did a good work on the cross. You even did a great work. But I'll take it from here. Trying to save ourselves discounts God and makes a mess out of us, someone put it. It takes our joy away. But trusting in God's grace, we have peace. I remember when the moment I really trusted in God's grace rather than my works or my effort. Peace. Whew. That kind of expression. Spiritually. When we trust in Christ and nothing else, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Christian trusts Christ, gone are the challenges that we give ourselves for law keeping. Gone are all the disciplines that we're depending on. Gone is the anxiety that having done everything we might do, we still have not done enough. And that's my testimony. We reach the goal of being right with God. We reach the goal of being saved. Not by climbing some stairs, but by being lifted up. God, while we were yet sinners, sent Jesus to die for us. While we were helpless, He sent Jesus to die for us. God's grace gives us peace, and God's grace gives us rest, because we don't have to keep on earning our salvation. The writer of Proverbs says, those who trust in themselves are foolish. But many still do. Why? So they can boast about their salvation, or so they can brag about it? South Arkansas, close to Camden, Arkansas, driving through a little backwoods road there, and there's a community called Bragg City. Now I wonder how that community got that name. Bragg City, Arkansas. Because people like to brag, I'm sure. Well, in some circles in the church, we could name it Bragg Church or Bragging Church. We like to brag or we like to boast. But Paul says that we have nothing to brag about. He says we have nothing to boast in. It's all by God's doing that we are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians, he wrote it to the Corinthians also. Our salvation benefits us. Our salvation does save us from eternal separation from God. But our salvation ultimately glorifies God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit that calls us to trust in God the Son for our salvation. Our salvation, in your outline it says, reveals God's mercy. Or our salvation showcases that God is a merciful God. It makes nothing of our effort, but it makes everything of God's mercy. Isaiah chapter 43, God says, I alone am the one who blots out your sins for my own sake. We can't erase our sin. We can erase the mistake that we make on a test paper, but we can't erase our sin. I am the one who blots out your sins And then he continues, for my own sake. And then he continues, I will never think of them again. That's mercy, isn't it? To wipe out our sin and never think of them again. I'm not sure I'm that merciful. Lord, help me to be that merciful to those who have harmed me. And help those who I have harmed to be that merciful toward me. This was said to the Israelites, they were in captivity. And it says the same to us. Isaiah 48, 9 through 11. For my own sake, for the honor of my name, I will hold back my anger and not wipe you out. And it continues, see, I have refined you, though not as silver. And one reference spoke of in refining silver, sometimes silver is destroyed. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. And we try to brag on our own salvation being of our own efforts, we're claiming part of the glory that belongs to God. The grace of God, it's so hard to understand. We've been taught differently. It's so hard to comprehend. And I still wonder, sometimes, have I done everything that I ought to do? Have I done enough to assure my salvation? And I can go back to times past and be sitting in church and wonder, as the invitation was given, have I done it all? Do I need to go to the altar again? But God's Word tells me again and again that Jesus did it all for me. And what about my work for Him? Are we supposed to do good work? Sure we are. But my work for Jesus is not so that He will save me. My work for Jesus is to say to Him, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for being merciful. And then our salvation reveals God's power. When we're saved, it shows that God is able to save us. He is able to deliver you. You know that song. He is able to deliver you and me. The writer of Hebrews used the phrase, saved to the uttermost. Saved as saved you can be. Our salvation, when we're saved, it shows that God is stronger than Satan. As the songwriter said, my God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee and me. Salvation, getting saved, it benefits the savee. Oh, it does. But it brings glory to God. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That's glorifying God. Lifting up Jesus. His power, His mercy, His love. John 3:16, Romans 5:8. Paul's testimony in Philippians chapter 3, everything he had, he lost. His heritage even, he abandoned all for the sake of Christ. Not by the works that we have done, but by the work that he did, dying on the cross. Number 66 sings about giving glory to the God who saved us. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. The greatest for me was that He saved me. You know, it benefits me, it benefits you that He saved you. But it's all for His glory and His honor. Stand together and sing. Let's sing all the verses of 66. Maybe some of you would like to publicly express your faith in Jesus.
Great things He has done. So loves He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Great things He has taught us, great things He has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Thank you.
Thank you.